Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is an honor to be here with all of you. I'm so glad that you guys took some time out of your weekend to come to church with us. And those of you online, wherever you are, we're delighted that you have chosen to chime in and join us for worship today as well. Friends, I'd like to remind you that our children's camp and our youth camp and our To Be Leaders camp registrations are all open and online at secondb.org. And I know that we have just a few spots left each week for To Be Leaders Camp. So if you know of anyone who's been talking about sending their kids or grandkids or friends to camp this summer, you might encourage them to log on because those spots are filling up quickly, which is very exciting. And I can't wait to spend time with all of those kids this summer at all of our camps. Y'all, I am so delighted to introduce to you our guest solo artist today. Her name is Karen Crowley, and you guys are in for a treat. Karen is a Christian musician who began singing and accompanying herself at the age of 12. While she was touring, she reached over 500,000 listeners weekly through her Facebook stream. She's recently retired as the senior level administrator with the University of Louisiana, Monroe. And for the last 3 years, she's been traveling and singing throughout the United States. And we are lucky enough for her to land here in Lubbock, Texas this week so that we can share some time with her today. Thank you so much for being here. We are honored that you are here today. And now I invite you all to take a moment with me. Let's prepare ourselves for worship. Take a breath and still yourselves and prepare your hearts and minds. The Lord be with you.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, has gone before us, preparing our way. He has given his life for us, his sheep. We can follow him in confidence and safety.
We gather today to worship the good shepherd.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
The world can be a frightening place in which to live, but in the very presence of all that is evil, our good shepherd offers us a feast of hope and peace.
We gather today to worship the good shepherd.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Abundance is placed before us. We are called to witness God's presence and love. We offer praise to the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
We gather today to worship the Good Shepherd.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into
blessed Redeemer, sing, O worthy. Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crowned prophet and priest and king. Crowned prophet and priest and king.
Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we're able to gather here in person and in our homes to praise you and to experience this morning in your presence with you, God. We praise you for the joy that is found in you, and we praise you for the chaos in our lives. Let both the stillness and the chaotic moments remind us to seek you, to find your presence, and to praise you each and every moment. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Come on. Hello. Hi. You want to sit on the steps for me?
Yes.
Yes, sit on the step.
With me. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys? Good. I'm so glad to see you guys this morning. Gosh, it's been a while since I've been up here. I'm so excited. I missed your faces. So I have a question for you. What's your favorite animal?
Dolphin.
A what?
Dolphin.
Dolphin?
Elephant.
Dolphin.
Tiger.
A
sea turtle.
Sea turtle.
Horse.
Lion. What?
Huh?
Horse. Tiger. Dolphin. What?
Giraffe.
Yes, there's lots and lots and lots of animals, aren't there? A parrot? That's pretty cool. I like that. Do you know what my favorite animal is? A penguin. I like penguins. Yeah, I think they're pretty cool. But you know what another favorite animal is of mine? A lamb. Because my name's Mary, okay? I kind of have to like it. So, but do you know what you call the person who takes care of sheep, of lambs? What? A shepherd, very good. Now let's say, where do the sheep, they all they live in a cage, right? They have a pen that they hang out in, sorry. And they have a gate, right? So if someone jumps over the fence and tries to break in, that's not a shepherd, is it? No, that's someone trying to do something bad and steal the sheep. Do you know the only way that a shepherd gets into his sheep? Do you know how he gets to the sheep? Yeah.
He opens the door.
He opens the door. Yes! Praise! That's right. He goes through the gate. Do you know who is our shepherd?
God.
God, thank you. Yes, good answer. Yes. God is our shepherd, and he takes care of us, and he looks after us just like a shepherd takes care of his sheep, right? Sheep aren't really very smart. Sometimes they wander off and they get lost and they fall over. And you need a shepherd to take care of the sheep. Kind of like us, we need a shepherd, and God is our shepherd, and he takes care of us, and sometimes we get lost, and we wander off, and God just kind of nudges us gently right on back into our little pen, and takes care of us and looks after us. So just remember, whenever you guys get lost, kind of like a sheep, and you just start wandering around, remember God. And he will find you right back to your home, and he will take care of you, okay? Let's pray, everyone. Dear God, thank you for these children, and thank you for being our shepherd and for looking after us and taking care of us and helping us find our way home when we sometimes get lost and led astray. Please stay with us, nurture us, and look after us all the days. Thank you, and in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go ahead and go wherever it is you go.
Our first reading today is from Psalms 23. The Lord my shepherd is, I shall be well supplied. Since he is mine and I am his, what can I want beside? He leads me to the place where heavenly pastures grows, where living waters gently pass and full salvation flows. If ever I go astray, he does my soul reclaim and guides me in his own right way for his most holy name. While he affords his aid, I cannot yield to fear. Though I should walk through death's dark shade, my shepherd is with me there. In sight of all my foes, you do my table spread. My cup with blessings overflows, and joy exalts my head. The bounties of your love shall crown my following days. Not from your house will I remove, nor cease to speak your praise.
These words from the 23rd Psalm. We've been going and doing and running and clawing and grasping and achieving. Let us lie down in green pastures. Our world, waves, chaos, remind us that you walk upon the waters. Our doubts, our frustrations, our anger, refresh our soul, O God. Wondering which way to go, wondering which path to choose, wondering which decision is best. Teach us your wisdom. When the sun delays to rise and the night lengthens, when there seems to be no end to the darkness, when the valley only gets deeper, remove our fear. And remind us of your comfort and your presence. Even when we are surrounded by evil, when those whom we are supposed to be able to trust have wronged us, when children are not protected, we pray for your grace and for your justice. May goodness and mercy surround us in the house of the shepherd as long as we live. For it is by that name we pray. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you may be able as we continue to worship in spirit together.
Through the sadness, pain.
Our gospel reading for today is John 10, 11 through 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. It's such a pleasure for me to be with you today. I enjoyed the first service, and I'm so looking forward to this service. You know, whether we're in a pasture as literal sheep or whether it's in our daily lives, the shepherd's sole purpose is to make all things well for us, for you, for me. And I trust that this morning you will open your mind and your heart to allow him to do just that, to make it well, for he is here. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, he has taught me to say it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Listen carefully to the next verse, my favorite. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Just think of it. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I'll bless his name again. Here, peace. Listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here and you can touch him. You will never be the same. He is here and you can touch him. You will never be the same. Amen.
Thank you. As you prepare to tune out for the next several minutes, maybe those words, "it is well," will simply encourage your soul. Please pray for Karen. We're so thankful for her and pray for her. Normally you have to be on paid staff to have to listen to this twice, and it'll be rough, but she'll get there with your prayer. Hey, it's a joy, a pleasure, a gift. What an honor it is to join you for worship. Thank you for your presence. The top halves of your face, it really is a gift. It is a grace. We are all sheep. Yeah. Repeat after me. I am a sheep. Yeah, we're all sheep. We're all sheep. And often, as maybe even notes in our children's message this morning, often the teaching around this good shepherd concept here in John, often this includes a diatribe about how unintelligent sheep are. Yeah. Supposedly they're not very smart. I think our dog is pretty smart. I do. Our dog also does things I would hope none of you ever do. So are sheep intelligent? I don't know. I have no idea with regards to how intelligent they may or may not. However, the smartest people in our species suggest that we understand 4% of the matter and energy that exists in our universe. Go us! 4%! We're on the way up, yeah. 96% of the universe is matter and energy that the smartest people in our world have no clue as to what's going on. Yeah, 96%. And here we are arguing. Here we are disagreeing. Here we are literally in our world warring, brother and brother and sister and neighbor and nation warring over 4%. And I believe the heart of God just thinks there's 96% more I'd like to show you. 96% more that would cause us to give awe and wonder and worship and praise and just breathe. Just breathe and imagine 96% more. I have no idea if sheep are intelligent or not. Most weeks, if anything of what I have said so far is true, most weeks you could summarize this little sermon thing in maybe one or three ways. First summary is me saying, I don't know anything. Okay. Second summary of what I do every single week is me saying, you don't know anything. And the third summary is me saying, I don't know anything, and you saying to yourself, Jake, we already know you don't know anything. Can a brother get an amen? Yeah, yeah. Which this is the way of Jesus, isn't it? Christ who emptied himself, did not grasp to his need to be right. Yeah. In a world that says more, Jesus says less. And maybe, spiritually speaking, maybe our souls are enlarged by subtraction, not addition. I have no idea if sheep are intelligent, in part because I art city folk. I wouldn't know what to do if there were 10 sheep in front of me. Now, if the scripture says Jesus is the good herder of cats, now we're talking about something I know a little bit about. If the scripture says Jesus is the best herder of turtles, those slow reptiles, I might know a little bit about what that was talking about. But I'm city folk. I have no idea. So I'd like to begin with the modifier, with the word that comes before shepherd. In our Greek New Testament, it reads this way: the good, the shepherd. In Greek, the words don't have to come in any particular order. This is a construction of emphasis in poetry. Yeah, the good, the shepherd. What is it like to be a shepherd? I have no idea. But what kind of shepherd are we talking about? We're talking about a good one. Yeah. C.S. Lewis has Lucy ask the beaver. In the Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, Lucy asks the beaver, is the lion safe? And the beaver says, of course the lion's not safe. It's a lion. But the lion is good. Aslan is good. Yeah. We're not talking about safety. We're talking about that which is good. And our psalm leads us. This 23rd psalm, the greatest hit of our prayer book, leads us, reminding us that the comfort, that the healing, that the hope, that the presence of God is with you, brothers and sisters and friends, particularly the comfort, the healing, the love, the presence of God is with you, particularly when you've been hurt in seasons of difficulty, when you've been left out. It's incredible. And it ends with, this is the goodness and the mercy of our Lord. The same word, goodness, is the same word that inaugurates all of our scriptures. Yeah, Genesis 1. God creates all that there is, all that will be, all that could be conceived, especially the 96%. And God says, it is good. It is good, good, good. The poem repeats. This is a joyous occasion. That which is to be celebrated. God delights in this creation. God delights in the sheep. God delights in the humans. Oh, it's so good. The shepherd of all goodness celebrates, in the good. And this word is a goat word. Right? Tob. It's used hundreds of times in our Hebrew scriptures. It's one of the deepest words. It's three letters, Tob. Yeah, it's an incredible a word with tremendous range. And I think we got off track 1,000 years ago, more or less. Our faith tradition got off track. We walked away from the good in chapter 1 and began to emphasize the sin, the brokenness, the selfishness in chapter 3. And aren't we so smart? We developed doctrines around this idea. We developed dogmas. We developed theologies and philosophies around the bad, around the sin. Around the brokenness. Yeah, but God says, no, it's good. It is good. And so if you hear nothing else, I'd like to encourage you. Today, say that today. It is good. Find one thing in your life, just one, today. It's not the sermon, but something else maybe will help. Find one thing today. It is good. Find one thing to say, that is good. This is good. Find one person today. That's two. I just doubled your homework. find one person today to say, you are good. And maybe that starts with right here. I am good. God created me and smiled and said, you are good. Yeah. And don't count sheep tonight. Count blessings. Yeah, this is gratitude. And we know scientifically, gratitude reorients the mind. Yeah, when we celebrate that which is good, it reorients our mind, and I believe it reorients the soul. Yeah, to proclaim that which is good. We are practicing, just in the simple sentence of it is good, we are practicing, we are participating in that original divine work in Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, we're going back. We're going back to the greatest. It is good, yeah. And generally speaking, and this is what I believe, and I think this has been true in my experience, goodness replicates. So you find one person today to say you are good, you are dangerously close to finding two people tomorrow to say you are good. You find one thing today to say that is good, you are on a slippery, slippery slope to find more things tomorrow to proclaim that is good. It is good. Goodness begets more goodness. It says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, right? What kind of flock do you think he has? What kind of flock do you think a good shepherd raises? Is that the right word? Raise, rear? I don't know. I don't know anything about shepherding. What kind of flock do you think the good shepherd has? But a good one. Yeah. The prophet Micah asks this way, what is good? What does the Lord desire? But to love justice, to seek mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Yeah, because justice and mercy and walking humbly replicates more good. Ah. It's good, yeah. And for those of you keeping score at home, New Testament has two words for the word good. I have not touched my Greek New Testament since moving here 3 years ago. Uh-oh, you're in trouble. No, it's all online. It's all online. You don't need books anymore, right? Right. And Matthew 19:17 says, only God is good. This incredible word, agathos. Only God is good. Searching the scriptures this week in John chapter 10, I'm expecting this word of buoyancy, this word of necessary a property and principle, good, agathos. This is the word I'm expecting for good shepherd, and it's not. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, reminding us certainly of Moses there in the desert, there in the darkness, there with all sorts of other shepherds around, likely, but Moses is the only one who notices the light. And Moses receives this revelation, receives the unveiling of the divine name. There in the burning bush, Moses says, who am I to go tell those who are enslaved? Who am I to tell those who are held captive that we will be delivered, that we will have a land and a space where we can practice our faithfulness to you, O God? Who is it that I am to say that sent me? And the divine voice replies, Yahweh, Yahweh. Many translations say, I am. You might also translate it, I breathe, simply life. Yeah, so I am. And Jesus in the Gospel of John particularly uses this phrase, I am the bread, I am the way, I am the gate, I am the light, I am the resurrection, I am the good shepherd. Yeah, and I was expecting agathos. And Jesus, like normal, did not mold to my expectations. Jesus uses this softer word, kalos. It's a word of beauty. It's a word of function. Yeah. Are you a planner? Have you identified some of your expectations? And Jesus says no to one form of good
to be raised to a better form of good. This is the Good Shepherd whose good is even better than our understanding and our expectation of good. It can be so helpful to just let go just a little bit of the plan, even a good plan. It can be so good to let go of the expectation, even a good expectation. Because it is time and again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who lays my life down. That's not expected. Yeah. Leading to that which is better. Yeah. Spending time in the 23rd Psalm this week, I was captivated there at the end. And, after God has promised such presence and healing and hope for six verses. And then in verse 6, it says, goodness and mercy follow. Goodness and mercy follow, which to me begs the question, who leads? Who's driving this thing? Who's out in front? And so much of shepherding, as I understand, is not to be out in front. It's to let the sheep lead. And I believe this. I think with all that I am, that God sees you. God says, you are good. And God says, where do you want to go today? This is incredible. God says, God sees you, and you're beautiful and you are good. And God says, what do you want to do today? God sees you, you're beautiful and you're incredible. And God says, who do you want to be? God lets us lead. This is only the good shepherd who desires the flock to lead. I was reminded of a story this week, and it reminded me a lot of after the Marsha Sharp turns into Highway 82 in an area of this world where many of you have had speeding tickets somewhere between here and Dickens, where the speed goes up and the speed goes down. And the police are taught very carefully who's from Lubbock and trying to go to the Metroplex. And somewhere in there where the cell towers don't talk to one another in the dead zone of cell space, there was a young man from one of these small towns driving there where the road was only two lanes. And as he was driving, he came up upon, he was driving in his car where the first two numbers are 19. And he came up upon a car on the side of the road, obviously leaning to one side because of some blowouts, some flat tires, and came upon a woman with the trunk open trying to change her flat tire. And this young man pulled over to help this woman who was driving one of those cars that starts with the number 2. Yeah. That joke killed in the early service. It's, wake up, here we go. Yeah. The young man got out of his car and asked the woman, would you like some help? And although a little bit hesitant, receiving help from a stranger in a place where she had no cell service, she did welcome the help. And this young man got his tire tool and his jack from his car. Remember beginning with the numbers 19 because he knew those new cars with those new tire irons and those new jacks are far too complicated to be used to change a tire. And so this young man very quickly with ease changed this woman's tire. It was a pedestrian. It was rather of little note. And in the few minutes therein, the woman said, can I please pay you? And the young man said, no. And the woman said, well, why do you do this? Why did you pull over? And he said, you know, I like it. I just wanted to. This gives me, just a little bit of joy. Change a tire. And she said, well, could I at least have your name? And he said, well, my name's Michael Robbins. And he continued on changing the tire and went on to his hourly job. And she went on headed towards the Metroplex from Lubbock, I suppose. And didn't expect to stop, but having gotten sweaty and dirty and all that jazz, stopped there at the cafe in Dickens. And there was only one person there working in the cafe. It was a young woman who was obviously expecting. And she was great with child. She was beautiful. She was radiant. She was exhausted. She was cranky. All the beautiful things. I love you, Allison. yeah. You're going to be in trouble later, Jake. Yeah, yeah. And so the woman just ordered water, and it wasn't as cold as she would like, but she drank it and ordered a club sandwich to go. She paid for her order with a $100 bill and quickly got back into her car, headed to the Metroplex. The young woman noticed that pastor through didn't take her change, so hustled out there to the parking lot and said, "Hey, you forgot your change." And the woman said, "No, keep it. The young expecting mother walked back in to clean the table that the pastor through had barely touched and found four more $100 bills there beside the napkin. She was overcome with gratitude. Thankfulness. And that evening, she got home from her hourly job and saw her husband at the end of his long day after his hourly job. His husband, who was stressed as any expecting parent may be, said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you so happy?" And the young mother-to-be said, "Well, Michael Robbins, I know how we'll pay for the crib." Yeah. Because goodness and mercy follow. What do you want to do today? Who do you want to be? These are beautiful, incredible, dangerous questions. Yeah, and good begets more good. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down that the sheep would know my voice so that there would be, verse 16, one flock. Pete Rollins in our Atheism for Lent class recently told a parable that captivated me. And as you may well know, Pete's Irish. And so he tells the story of an event, a competition there at the county fair, if they have counties there in Ireland. He told the story of an Englishman, a Texan, and an Irishman who were all given the same amount of materials, who were all given the same amount of time to build the best sheep pen. After the contestants had been given their resources and their time, the judges came by to evaluate and to award the contestants in such an endeavor. They came upon the young Englishman who had built an ornate sheep pen. The judges thought, look at this attention to detail. It talks kind of funny and has different teeth, but what a wonderful sheep pen you have built here. Oh, fantastic. Way to go. Well done. And they came up upon the Texan who had used the same amount of time and the same amount of materials to build a sheep pen, although less ornate, twice as big as the sheep pen that the Englishman had built. Can a brother get an amen? And the judge says, well, it certainly must be true. Everything's bigger in Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. This is a fabulous sheep pen. Look at all that you've done with such little materials, twice as big as the other. After the judges had gone to see the Englishman and after the judges had gone to see the Texan, the Irishman awoke from his nap. He had taken a summer afternoon nap, I suppose, with the help of his good friend, Jameson. He awoke quickly and got his materials and didn't use many of them. He simply put three boards around himself, creating the simplest enclosed object known to man, a triangle. He created a triangle around him, and the judges came by and said, Irishman, look at how beautiful the English sheep pen is. Look at how big the Texans' sheep pen is. Irishman, we think that maybe you could fit one sheep in that pen, but first you're going to have to get out of it. And the Irishman said, but I'm not in the sheep pen. Yeah. And the 23rd Psalm leads to the 24th Psalm that says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and have offered my life that there may be one flock." Yeah, it is. It is so good to be alive. It is so good to be in the presence of the flock guarded by the good shepherd. It is so good to be in one flock with you and with all. It is, brothers and sisters and friends, it is so good to be a sheep. Bah! Good and gracious God, hear these, our prayers. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship. If you would like to respond now or at your convenience, we would be honored to do so in any way that is most appropriate for you.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, plunge me beneath thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us, for our ears thy fold prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us thine.
This is the offertory prayer, so I would encourage you to find the offertory boxes on either end of this beautiful building. Before I pray, I have a confession to make. Jake knows I have some life admonitions, and one of them is never be above a little plagiarism. And so I'm about to plagiarize a prayer written by Rabbi Chaim Stern, and he has published a book, and it's written in the Hebrew form. The back is the front, and the front is the back. And it reads from right to left, not left to right, kind of like our world today. But in the center, there is wisdom. Would you, pardon me, would you pray with me and Rabbi Stern? I come to you, O God, for your gracious help. You dwell within my heart. You feel my distress. You know my pain and how burdened I am. Give me strength to bear my burdens with courage, wisdom, and grace. Help me to be true to my better self, to discern my real work in life, and to do it with all my might. When I struggle within my heart, stay by my side. Then I shall be able to say with your prophet, but those who hold fast in the eternal shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May my work and the ties that bind me to family and friends make life rich and meaningful for me, so that each day I live may be yet another step leading me nearer to you. Amen.
I want to say thanks to the staff here at Second B for allowing me to be with you today. It's been a great pleasure, and I enjoyed both messages. I did. And I encourage you all to come to both services. It's great. You'll get a double blessing, I assure you. And I want to thank my friend Betty Cagle, whose friendship is what brought me here, and of course, the fabulous accompaniment of Marilyn. Oh my goodness, what a pleasure it is to sing. You know, I don't really think of myself as being an actual sheep, but when I do, it makes a difference. And you know, I live a very practical faith every day, and I need to think of myself as a sheep, and I need to know that He really does hear my voice. I hear His. But sometimes I might not speak out enough to Him. He knows me. He knows my name. He recognizes the sound of my voice. You know, Psalm 147, 10, 11 indicates that He does not glory in our troubles, but He relishes our reliance on Him. So I encourage you today to speak out to Him, to talk to Him, because He's listening very intently for the sound of your voice. Has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? And how long since your heart knew no burden? And you call Him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? And how long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that He would answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt like this day's worth the living. Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? Can you call him your friend? Oh, how long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Peace of Christ to one another.
Shepherd, so very, very good, and may goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Amen.